Sirenauts, and welcome to my brand spanking new podcast. This is Observations with Sovereign Sire from the good or not so good people at julieland.com. I am joined today by Mr. Richard Avery.
Hello, Sov. Welcome to the Julieland universe.
Well, thank you for having me. Or should I say,
I'll try not to be serious, but welcome to the Julieland Radio. Yay!
New show. I'm here and I'm brand spanking new.
I know, new show.
Fresh face with no expiration.
So, can I ask the first question?
Yes.
Why is this called Observations?
Because every week or so, I'm going to be gracing and blessing my Sirenauts with my observations about various topics that are affecting the world. Super serious stuff. Also, occasionally, I'll have some comedians in to be talking to me about the anatomy of dick jokes. I feel like it all comes together in a nice little crudité of rawness.
I like
keeping it raw.
So what are we doing today?
Well, today we're sealed up tight in the Sov Pod with Greg Edwards.
Hey.
How are you today, Greg?
Doing great, Sov. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Dick.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
My name is Greg. I'm a comedian. I'm an actor. I got this web series called Thug Notes that's pretty popular on YouTube right now. It's just about literature. We do a summary and analysis on books. I'm also a stand-up comedian. You can catch me at shows in L.A. Follow me on Twitter, Greg the Grouch. That's me.
I was waiting for waiter, bartender.
Oh, yeah. I'm a bartender.
Bartender, waiter.
I wish I was a bartender.
You're a slash, right?
I'm a slash. I paint. Exactly. I meditate. I give advice to friends.
And I'm a Virgo, and I like long walks on the beach.
Do you like music and love life?
I do like music.
Because you're halfway through a Tinder profile right now, baby.
Exactly.
I do deep massages.
Ooh. I'm going to put a yes on that one.
How'd you get Virgo, though? How'd you catch that?
Because we're the most common sign. Because everybody was fucking for Thanksgiving.
Are you Virgo too?
Yes.
Oh, because I'm also
August 26th.
Okay.
Because I'm an Aries, and an Aries is the best.
Aries would say that.
Yeah, it's typical.
That's my point.
Typical
right.
Aries.
It's my point.
Yeah, because it's because everyone's like feeling all familiar, comfortable, all cozy, full, intimate. I love you, but I'm never gonna do it again. I promise. I love you, only you, baby. That's what it is.
Good baby, that was a good. Yeah, only you, baby.
That's my advice to people is always like, hey, most babies conceived around this time, so be careful or good luck.
Exactly.
Get out of there. Yeah.
Run.
Just keep it in mind.
Run, Forrest, run.
So today, because it is the inaugural episode, I thought I would, keep it light, simple, easy. You know, I didn't want to challenge myself too much. And so I thought, hey, let's take on racism in the social media sphere because that's a pretty easy subject. You know, I think we can dissect that in about 15 minutes flat and be out of here. And
in and out.
Yeah. And the reason that I wanted to do that is because there's a lot of really intense stuff that's happened this past year. Ferguson, Eric Garner, in addition to, you know, just the 300 plus years of incredible tension and atrocity that has been plaguing this country for, you know, the duration. But I haven't felt comfortable talking about it because I feel like as a white girl, it's a pretty one-sided, one-dimensional point of view. But because I have a man of color with me today.
But I think you got a different point of view than most, you know. You're a very smart white girl, you know. You got a different point of view. She is.
Is there such thing as a smart white girl?
Plenty of them. Okay. San Francisco.
I mean, but here's the thing is I think, like, you know, I mean, obviously I'm liberal and progressive. And you know, everyone as an individual has had their experiences with race, whether they're good or bad. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has like a story of a time in which they kind of were confronted with their own race or with another race or with racial tension. But at the same time, it's not the same as like talking to someone that has like a real stake in the situation.
I hear you.
And then the other part is like part of my philosophy and sort of like social media is that I have like 40,000 followers, and like in situations like this when people are like wanting to have a voice, and that sometimes the best thing you can do as an ally is sort of give someone else your platform for a minute and so like totally. Here like say something. So I also kind of want to take that opportunity and go like, okay, I have 40,000 followers, let's bring in someone that has a stake in the matter and talk it out and like sort of share that platform and
put it
like,
out there.
Yeah, like here's have some of my audience for a minute. And so, yeah, like neither one of us are like scholars, but we definitely are human beings that have been living through this year. So
scholars of humanity.
Exactly.
Yes, we are.
So I figured like, fuck it. Let's do it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I mean, like a lot, it's been a weird year. It's come, America is a weird place. Cause I feel like we're the only people that really do this experiment, you know, like all these races are here and they have to intermingle together and we really don't talk about race in this country at all. And, the stuff that's been coming up lately with Eric Brown and, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, Tamir Rice. I mean, it's a long legacy of just unarmed black dudes just being murdered by the police. And, I'm not happy about it, but I do like that it's on everybody's mind. I like that people are protesting. I like that people are talking about it. I'm having more conversations about this that, you know, the conversations used to stop at a point. But now I feel like people are looking into themselves more and looking at the things that they have that they wouldn't have if this country was different. You know?
Do you think it really changes anything, though? Or people?
I think like Twitter and like all like I feel like social media in terms of like because it gives everyone a voice is definitely like they're trying to like, you know, when the protests were happening in Ferguson, it's like you've got them trying to like wrangle the media and it didn't matter because everyone had a cell phone. Yep. And so all over Twitter, these horrific images of and the set thing of like the Walter Cronkite thing, like the Vietnam War was over when we decided it was over because we just started to show like what was happening and you can't double talk your way out of it. Like,
but with the race thing and what I noticed, first of all, with Ferguson, what I felt like at the beginning when the riots kind of, or the protests had started, there was more press there than there was actual people protesting. And because of the press and because of the money, it's always money. Mm-hmm. It's all about like, let's get that impactful image. Everybody's trying so hard now for that game changer, but that game changer only lasts about a minute. And I think, like, I always tell this story. I grew up with a grandfather who was a police detective in the Bay Area in the 40s. And all these crazy things that happen in our world today, and it's sad that unarmed people get shot. But that's been happening since probably guns were invented. Yeah. And it's going to happen. It'll always happen. And that's why I always say, is there really change except... And that's the thing. I just don't believe there will be.
Well, it's different.
Not until this country gets over guns.
Well, it's not even. I don't think it's guns at all. I think it's race. You know, people look at black men as, you know, as like scary people, and and it's been going on. I mean, it has a lot to do with slavery. It has a lot to do with class. And I mean, if you look at the history of this country, slavery for like 300 years.
Yeah.
And that's ingrained in people, man. I'm from Virginia where, like, the first slaves were brought. I've been on field trips to that as a kid. Like, maybe I shouldn't have been going there as a kid.
Well, no, this is the argument that I have with people, like, when it pertains to, like, feminism, is I'm like, listen, like, it's, like, there's, like, a cultural memory of oppression. Like voting rights had to be, like, for women, like that had to be written into the Constitution.
Law.
And, like, and that does affect your... That affects you because people are like, oh, feminism, gender. And I'm like, no, like it affects me when I read a textbook and they're talking about how like I didn't have rights like 200 years ago. Like there's somewhere inside you that you feel that like this like, oh, like I'm different. I'm an other like as opposed to like whatever is like.
It's sad to say, though, I just think because America's so stupid is that the generation now, you take an 18 to 25 year old. They don't even know about any of this stuff. You know, they don't. They don't know. They should. I agree. They should. But it's like they don't. And and it's the further you get away from all that stuff, which is, I can only imagine what this country is going to be like in 50 years.
I mean, if it doesn't change, I feel like this is like the. Well, I hope it's the breaking point. I'm a very militant person. Like, like I'm a comedian. And I'm also like I'm from Virginia, so I've seen so much racism in my life, not just towards black people too. Like. Towards like Asians, you know, I grew up with a very close Vietnamese friend that I saw get picked on so much. So I feel like I hope this is the breaking point for people because this is not just a black problem. This is an American problem.
That's what it is.
It really is. I mean, because sooner or later, the oppressed people are going to stop just marching. And they're going to start fighting back. Like, I mean, they're already doing it in a sense right now. I don't believe, I personally, myself, I don't believe this whole, that black dude in New York that killed those cops. I think that's sort of like a conspiracy shit. I've been looking at some stuff. I mean, you know, maybe it did. Maybe, I mean, I believe the cops got killed, but I think it was something more than that. We live in a real crazy world, and racism has existed in this country forever.
And it'll never go away.
It'll never get away, but I feel like this is the point where we have to come together collectively as people, white people, black people, Latino people, Asian people, and actually talk about these issues if we want to live in this country.
But I agree, but how can you talk when you know, you have Fox News and their stupidity? And that's why, again, I kind of peel away the layers of racism and elitism, money. It's always, to me, everything, money is the root of all evil, money, number one. And but it's like, it comes down to one thing for me, stupidity. And that's why I started Stupid Life Coach, because it's like, it's stupid people who are uneducated, whether they're they might say it's racism, but it's just, they're stupid. They just don't know. And it's the stupidity, I always say, is the biggest problem in the world today.
I agree. I mean, education is a huge part of it. But it's like, it's rich people that are stupid.
Totally.
But if rich people are stupid and they're in power,
right?
That's just...
It's like I say to girls all the time. Just because you're rich and famous doesn't make you smart.
No, not at all.
By far. I know plenty of stupid rich
people. But
you can
get treated like you're smart.
Right.
You can get, you know...
Exactly. Right. You can pay for a bunch of dumb people to be around you to make you feel smart.
Exactly. And live a good life.
Yeah.
You have these smart
people. No, but it's money and stupidity. And it's like.
But I feel like for me, like watching this stuff happen, what's been really telling for me is, and maybe it's going to get us closer to an understanding or kind of furthering the dialogue, is because of Twitter and Facebook and all these different ways that people now are able to have a voice. Sometimes I go on Twitter and I'm like, wow, did people get like more racist?
Yeah.
At least like what we're kind of getting is like, it's sort of like sonar. Like you can't see underwater, but by using the sonar, it's like you start to get a much more detailed image of what's in there.
It's a great analogy.
And it's like, I feel like Twitter is sort of like sonar. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not going to fix it, but at least we're getting like a better, image of the exact scope of the problem.
What I look
like how big it really is.
Right, but I look again, it's like the internet gives everybody their opinion. Let's give everybody have us an opinion now. And I just think it does make people say, like they're able to hide behind a fake thing or whatever. I hate black people. I hate white people, whatever they can do. But I also feel like, you know, the thing I do like about what I was going to bring up about the social thing is I like the fact that now you can shame the shit out of somebody for being stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it's always say everybody has freedom of speech. You can go ahead and say whatever stupid thing you want to say, but we're going to come back and we're going to come back hard.
True. You can definitely do that. I mean,
that's the only kind of revenge you can really get.
That's it, though. But it's such a lame revenge.
It's like if you're going to be stupid, like, you might.
What do you think? Okay, so there's a whole controversy with, like, Iggy Azalea. And, like, they were saying, like, okay, like, you've gotten famous basically by doing black music or something like traditionally, like, yeah, like she does. She puts on black voice. Like she does. But like, and everyone's going like, that's fine, whatever. Okay. Pop star, you're doing what you're doing. But like, you're being like strangely very silent about these issues affecting a culture in which you are totally,
I know nothing
adopting.
About her music or her,
it's
but
no need. I mean, but she's very popular. I mean, she did win a rap Grammy. I feel like all this stuff, like, black people have been beat up so bad that when stuff happens like this, it just opens up everything. And everybody is mad about this. It's like, fuck Iggy Azalea, fuck Action Bronson, Eminem. You're taking our music and getting popular off of it, and they're giving you money for this, and we can't even get our love, and you're not even saying shit from the people that you've taken their culture from, culture vulture style. But, I mean... This is...
But that's kind of the beginning of time.
Oh, Pat Boone. I mean, man.
But, like, we can go back to... But I'm saying...
This is the sage jazz music. I love jazz
exactly.
music.
Exactly. I was saying that to earlier.
No black jazz artists anymore.
There'd be no rock and roll if it wasn't for the blues.
It's not... There will be no black rappers in 10 years. There will be none. No black rappers.
Nah, I think there'll be a handful. I'm okay with good ones.
No.
There aren't any good ones these days. That I can get an argument with.
Azealia Banks is pretty good.
She's pretty good.
I like Nicki Minaj.
That record's like fucking crazy.
Well, I don't think there would be any black. It's money, right?
Of course.
Eminem, Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre was like, all right, how can I make some real money? Let me get this white dude that can actually rap his ass off and I'm going to make millions of dollars off of this dude.
Right.
T.I., man, Dr. Dre was real good with, I mean, even Timbaland. Timbaland was like, man, Dr. Dre did good. Let me get this white dude, Bubba Sparks.
Right.
It's how it's happening, and it's black right. dudes doing it, too.
No.
T.I. with Iggy Azalea. I mean, T.I.
No, I...
Put them all in.
No, I agree, because right. it does
Usher,
come...
Justin Bieber.
And it comes down to Rick Rubin and the Beastie Boys.
Exactly.
And, which was also Russell Simmons, and, you know, all this stuff. It comes down to, it's always business and money.
It's money.
Period.
It's money. And it's more profitable when it's a white person
exactly.
doing blackface.
Exactly.
It really is. I mean, it's just...
Well, I mean, like, I get, like, on a certain level, it's, like, because people, like, you want something that looks like you, and a majority, like, is it still a majority of the population is white? Like the latest census, not, like what
in California, white is the minority. In California, white is the minority.
But I think across the country, it's maybe like 61% or something. Like, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's like that thing of like that people are always going to buy where they see themselves. Like where they see themselves reflected. Like exactly. they're going to like vote with their dollar.
Yeah, but going back to this whole thing with music, and I'm sorry, I've been around music a little bit, and I always tell people it comes down to the only color that matters is green. These companies are in there, and I love Dr. Dre, but they're in it for the money.
Yeah.
It's all in the money.
It's not about
period. Culture. And they'll let everybody else rant about this argument, and but they don't care because the money comes.
No, they just
count the Benjamins, and it's all about the money,
But I think it's good for a girl like Azalea Banks to put that out there.
I agree.
I thought when she started, here's the thing that I thought was like really, this is the thing, like what gets me about the Iggy thing, and maybe I'm just naive.
Mm-hmm.
there were two things that happened in that Iggy Azalea Banks thing that kind of blew my mind a little bit, which was that you've got Azalea Banks like crying, going like this country's like built off of like our labor, and then you know like we can't even have this thing that we made for ourselves, and whether she's right or she's wrong, it's like to me what translated was like. And I'm not black, but I am a female.
Yeah.
And like that frustration of like, God damn it.
What?
Like I've felt that way over like male female shit before. And so it's like, so to me it was like this really potent thing where I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like that pain of like, what the fuck? Like, when is it my turn to just like get
Never
a piece
be.
Of the fucking pie?
Never.
Never.
And then,
let it go.
And then Iggy's response
there is no
was,
pie.
And then Iggy's response was, that the reason that she was not successful was not about the fact that she was black, but because she had such a piss poor attitude.
Yeah, right.
And I was like,
wow.
Whoa, a white girl is telling a black girl, listen, it has nothing to do with race. It's just your bad attitude.
Yeah. What
it's like, I don't like, that's like literally
told?
Like the whitest thing I've ever like. And it was this thing where I'm like, who, why would you say that? Yeah. Like, why? Like, it's just in such bad taste. It's why would you tell a black girl it's your bad attitude? Like, if
as
you just
bad
act,
as that, yeah, but
it's
bad
like a white person going, like, listen, if you just act right, black people, then everything would be fine.
Good.
And it's like, that's delusional. Like,
but
that's delusional.
But okay,
like,
but the point is, she's entitled to that opinion.
Sure, but I just, like I said,
and it comes
like,
down to ignorance.
But like I said, it's like, stupid. It just kind of blew my mind at, like, how I'm like, whoa. And then she has this song, Goddess. Where she's like saying like bow down to a goddess and this and that, and I'm like, it's almost weird because I'm like, okay, like it's like a supermodel looking blonde chick going like, everyone bow down till your knees get sore because I'm the rapping goddess, and it's like this weird thing.
Like,
wow, that's really intense.
No, but it means nothing. So that's intense. What I'm saying. You're putting all this stuff into it when it actually means nothing. That's the point nowadays.
Well, how do we make it mean something? That's my thing with like Twitter
it won't,
and all
because it's
like,
all about the money, and it's all about somebody creating a song, creating this shit, so that everybody has something to say. It's about the money. Everything is about money. I'm sorry,
is.
I don't care what anybody says. It's always about the money. Money is the root of all evil.
I agree.
And who wrote the lyrics to that song? You know,
she did.
You know,
she wrote.
Mm-hmm. Probably
she
not.
Yeah, she writes all of her own.
And I'm sure
and so
she,
I'll give her that. Like,
I know,
she
but
writes
she
all
probably
of her
she probably had some help, and they probably said her record executives and the people label, they don't like they read and go, this is terrible. Who gives a fuck? It'll sell millions, and we don't care.
It's true.
They
it's
don't
true.
Care. I've been around it. I've seen people do. They do things. It's about the making the money, and it happens in all of. Our culture more. It used to be smaller in the old days, in a sense, but now.
But
it's
I mean,
like,
you don't think that music has. I mean, because like, part of me feels like that's almost too cynical. I mean, there to a certain degree, like if you've got Richard Pryor, you've got to say like, I feel like music and products of the culture still do have the ability to make an impact for social change. I strongly believe that, you know, like the, not every album, not every music, not whatever, but if you look at things like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Richard Pryor, you look at these things where it's like, they kind of came to represent a certain shift in social values that did have like this lasting impact. So I get to a degree people being very critical of Iggy or being critical of Azealia, because there is on some level a recognition that whether or not it's about money to the executives, to the people that are consuming it, it is powerful.
Totally.
And so that's what I was seeing like with race on like social media, you know, in terms of like everyone having a voice. You know, but I see you tweeting about stuff on Twitter. Do you feel like you have a? Why do you tweet about political stuff on your Twitter?
I'm a political person. I've always been political.
Do you worry that it will?
I don't affect
like sort of how people receive the rest of your feed or what I'm saying? Like, kind of
at this point, like I just can't. I can't. I don't care about anything anymore. I really don't. Like, I'm 34. I'll be 35 this year. A lot of my friends have never made it to California, are stuck in the same place. Well, not stuck. You know, they got families, but they're not doing what they want to do. And I just can't worry about if somebody's going to like me because of this tweet. Because I just have to be myself. And I can't. I'm from a shit town. It's not, I like my town, but a lot of people don't make it out of there. And they stay in the same place that they're from. And I can't live in Hollywood and this fairy tale lifestyle and not say what I feel. And if people don't like it, fuck them. You know, I really don't. I don't need people. I'm a loner. I got people that are in my circle that I'm cool with. I want to be successful, but if I can't be successful and be me, I don't need it. And it's a lot of people in line right behind me that'll jump in this pit for me. But I feel like me being honest in a world of non-honesty is going to help me succeed more.
I feel the same way. Like
I know exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I always tell.
But, I mean, like, because I'm a porn star, and like, I'll tweet about like rape and shit. You know, and like people get really, you know, like wow, like you're kind of, and I'm like, well, I got 40,000 dudes listening to me. Like, maybe it's my job to kind of go like, hey, buddy, can I talk to you for a minute about consent?
Totally.
Like it's like it feels like a responsibility. Like, well, I've got your attention. Like, as a female, like let me like take 2 seconds, but. It's at the same time, like, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, like that tweet that I said about, you know, like, you don't have to be racist to enjoy the benefits of privilege, you know? And so it's like, acknowledge, like, you mm-hmm. should acknowledge that it exists, mm-hmm. you know? And people are like, think I shouldn't tweet things like that, or you know what I mean? That I'm alienating people. I get that. I get texts all the time, you know? Like, what are you tweeting?
The people that you'll lose are outweigh the people that you're going to gain and the love that you're going to gain for those real people. You know, the people that really enjoy you and like, oh man, I didn't know Sovereign was so deep like that. Damn, you know, and it makes them want you more and love you more, you know?
So now when they see you and Doggy getting railed from behind, they go, man, that girl's deeper than I thought.
Oh, yeah, they're just going to love you more. Man. For real. It's
like, true. Like I said, like, we can talk about politics, then they suck your dick. And, you know,
exactly.
We live in such a different world now, man. We can do whatever we want.
But I think one thing I was going to mention was, like, you mentioned, like, the whole concept of, saying, you know, not caring and saying what you got to say. I agree, and I wish more people could do that. I wish the people in power, the real people in power, to me, wish would say and do more.
Oh, they do. They just don't say it to us.
It's, well, yeah, no, true, true.
They totally do.
But an example I have, I always tell people, like, I go back years ago, reading a magazine years ago, one of the best quotes I ever heard about Michael Jackson, and I grew up on the Jacksons, and I thought they were the best. I thought Michael Jackson was amazing up until Off the Wall, and then he went crazy.
Oh, I loved Off the Wall.
Brilliant. No, get me.
But after Off the
Wall. After Off the Wall, when he started turning white. Yeah. And so, but it was like this
he
best.
He did it for us. I mean, that's for real. If you look at institutionalized racism, he did that because he thought he was ugly.
But he, the best.
Right.
He thought
he was ugly.
The best part was that he
changed his color. Sammy Sosa. Have you seen a picture?
I know.
Sammy, it's. But that's some Michael, deep shit, man.
Michael's the only man who was born a black man and then died a white man.
Died an Asian woman.
Yeah.
Died a white woman.
But the funny thing was, like, Elvis Costello, who I love to death, said the best thing about Michael Jackson, and I kind of use that quote for a lot of people today. And he said, Michael Jackson, at the time, this is 20 years ago, has the ears of the world and nothing to say. And I kind of feel like I'm bad about a lot of people right now. Every time I see, like, Ferguson.
Well, I think
happens,
that was, I think that's the problem people were having with, like, Azalea or whatever. They're like, okay, like, well, you have this huge platform. Right. Like,
but
why aren't you saying something?
But my, that's, no. But I don't think Iggy needs to. I think it's like when I see something like in Ferguson happen, and there's, you know, LeBron James can say and do. He, the guy has more. He can. He has nothing to lose.
He's saying stuff. I mean,
but
he
like,
come
the,
out
but
and said
these
it.
Guys.
Those,
I know, but put it on a T-shirt. Like, they could do so much more. Are they putting their money behind the right politicians to make differences, to get laws changed? It's like, I'm sure they always say that, and I've been around enough celebrities, they do things quietly.
Yeah.
But I sure would like to know, some of these people are you know, he has nothing to lose. He can say whatever he wants to say, and they can stop working tomorrow, and he's fine for the rest of his life. But it's like, there's certain people out there that I just wish could say more and take a leadership more, if that's possible.
Well, I mean, I don't think, I think people look at black celebrities to do more. I think everybody should say more.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody should.
Everybody should.
But I think everybody should, there needs to be those people, though, that if you want to take the black culture, looks up to the LeBrons and looks up to the athlete.
Totally.
And these guys, they could unite.
Yeah. I mean, you know, me personally, I'm like, if they're going to keep killing us, stop playing basketball. Stop singing. Yeah. Stop rapping. Yeah. Stop paying your taxes. Stop going to work.
Yeah.
You know, stop. Like, really, if you want to shut down some shit and really get it down,
well, it's like,
stop everything. I'm super militant.
I know. Right. Well, can I tell you, I felt the same way as, like, when the Trevon thing went down, mm-hmm. and Miami Heat were all like, we're going to protest. Yeah. I was like, if I were those guys, I would have said, we're not going to play.
We're not going to play. And we're going to tell you why we're not going to play. Just don't play because the
NBA we're
going to
play
their
because,
own, their
because
herd or,
stand my ground law is bullshit.
Yeah. I'm not playing any more games in Miami. But I can't.
I wish it would come down to that world that would happen
in the 60s that happened with Jim Brown and Ali and guys like that. But these are different people. They are making so much. It's like you said, it's money, and it's also family stuff too. Like, a lot of these guys don't want their kids to have to deal with this and their families to have to deal with it in certain ways. So I understand, and we can't put pressure on everybody to do it. Some guys are really speaking their mind. Right. There's a Browns football player that wore the I Can't Breathe shirt, and they interviewed him afterwards.
I saw that was amazing.
But, you know, I just feel he was so eloquent. He was so, he didn't have a teleprompter. I mean, all this shit just came from his heart, and I'm just like, God, why are they fucking with us so much, man? And my thing with just the racism in general in this country is, what have black people done? What did we do? What did we do that's so bad for this country to hate black people like they do?
Well, let's ask Bill Cosby.
I mean, everybody, though. I mean, we built this country.
No, I know. I agree.
It's a lot of shit. And we haven't even got an apology for this
country. Well, it's
as
fear.
A culture.
It's
as
fear.
A culture, what they have
it's
given.
Fear.
Yeah.
It's fear.
And totally. It's like this weird, like, I was, for me, a lot of it does stem from fear. And even just for me, I've come over a lifetime. I've come to appreciate like how insidious it is. Mm-hmm. So throughout junior high and high school, one of my best friends was a black girl, and I remember like when we started going through puberty, and it's that thing of like beauty mm-hmm. and being attractive to boys. And I remember it's like that was the first time of like this feeling of like, oh, like things are different for her. Like I have all these like advantages because everywhere we go, like every movie we see,
images.
It's a white girl, mm-hmm. you know, is like the beautiful standard. And like, I mean, as a, like, I was like, I was a little kind of like baby sort of sociologist. I mean, it's like, it wasn't, I was registering difference. And then of course, like, as I got older reflecting back, I was like, man, that had to be fucking tough. Like that had to be hard. And then, you know, my friend Tyler Knight, he doesn't drive anymore. Can totally afford to drive, totally afford a really nice car, and all, but he doesn't because he has like traumatic stress disorder because like twice or two or three times he's been pulled over and like had a gun put to his head just because he was black. And like, and that was the first time I was like, okay, like my experience of the world is like completely fucking different. Because nothing like that is. I've never had a man in a uniform like point a gun at my head.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and that, like, and it was like that was the first time I was like, I had that realization. Like, oh, like it's like I'm living in a completely different world.
Different
like
world.
I don't like. Totally. I have no idea.
We all are.
Like, what that is.
That's why, it's good to listen and talk and hear what everybody's perception of the world that they live in. Because yours is different than mine, and yours is different than mine, and mine's different than there. And it's just being able to have a little, what I always say, two words that people don't very have very little of this day and age, compassion and empathy.
Yeah, I agree.
We live in a very narcissistic society who lacks that.
We do.
And it's the concept of just like going.
And I think it's also like passive consumption. Because when I think about it, it's like we're inundated with these narratives in which black people are criminals, they're villains, they're even when we don't realize it, we're overwhelmed with these images, like Dane, and that narrative, like we internalize it. And as long as we're like passive receivers of culture, like as long as we're not thinking critically, like, and that's like we're going to be affected by it.
Back to stupidity. Stupid people are going to believe that shit. Well, they're going to believe that Obama
is
evil.
It's more than stupidity though. It's systematic.
It's a lack of critical thinking. It's like, we don't
stupid.
They want you to look at things a certain way. If you see images of Africa, I've been to Africa twice. If you see images of Africa on TV in America, they never show you Africa's so huge. And they'd say, oh, this is going on in Africa. I'm like, man, Africa is like three times as big as the U.S. And they always show negative images of Africa. Africa is, I mean, it's places in Kenya look just like New York.
Yeah.
People are money. I've fed Africans. I mean, people got money over there, and they never show you images like that because they don't want you to see that. It's images with the whole Adrian Peterson and the whole Ray Rice fighting his girl. I mean, you know how much domestic violence has been going on in the NFL? Not just black dudes.
Oh, I'm talking God.
And the coaching staff. And they get this thing, and now, well, I saw like a news story actually on Twitter about anytime there's progression within the black community, there's also in the white community people that push that down. So like, you know, with the civil rights, people saw like black people trying to come up, they push it down, they're fighting them back. Oklahoma, there was a big, after World War II, there was a big black businesses in Oklahoma, and some shit happened. They burnt that whole city down. Yeah. And I feel like with Barack being elected in the last 8 years, you know, people are like,
I feel like it's made racism worse.
It's made racism like, so much more intense.
Yeah, because it's almost like certain people feel like there's this, like a past, like, well, we have a black person. It's like the guy that sent me an email complaining about me saying that I was being anti-white by implying that, you know, you're an asshole if you don't acknowledge privilege. And then he's like, I've never blamed spooks for my problems. And I'm like, like, it was just this thing where it's like this, like, there's, I'm like, how can, you can't like use racist language while explaining you're not racist.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just like, it's a disconnect. It's like,
totally.
I don't blame black people for my problems. And there's a black president. So I'm just,
so we're cool, right?
Like, and it's just this thing of people kind of comparing, like, I think it's fear of losing power because people recognize that no one wants to be treated the way that they're treating other people.
But again, it goes down to, it's about being stupid and ignorant, if we want to really be smart. But it's like, it goes back to that whole thing of, one question I've always asked people all the time, and I would like to ask everybody I would ever meet, is like, what are you afraid of? Like, what are you really afraid of? Like, I would love to ask Mr. Yeah, but it's like asking what they really
fear. Sharing
my feelings. What you know, you talk to some crazy
intimacy.
You talk to some crazy racist person and you say, what are you afraid of? They probably don't even know. They've just been programmed because they're stupid to think, oh, a black man's bad, and you're like, no. You know, it's the same thing. People have issues with gay people in sports, and all of a sudden
people
they're realizing they're like, you know
what? People are afraid to lose power. People are afraid to lose power. That's all it ever is. It's like, and part of the thing about it, adopting like a negative narrative of women or a negative narrative of people of color, is it makes it easier to rape them. It makes it easier to deny them privileges. It makes it easier to enjoy their labor without feeling guilty.
Yeah.
It's much easier to exploit people when they're not people.
Right.
Like when there's some kind of
rationalization. You don't even see them as people.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like a lot of when you, like one of the things about, I know more about feminist issues, so, so I'm using these examples.
No,
like,
that's perfect.
But, you know, when it comes to profiling rapists, there's like, oh, it's much more common that rapists usually have like very rigid sex roles in like women should be at home, women should, and it's like they've noticed that this sort of attitude of like sort of this very old-fashioned kind of dehumanized view of women coincides with people more likely to rape because it's easier to abuse someone when you're not viewing them as someone with like thoughts, feelings that's going to be affected by these experiences. a lot of rapists in jail that after they had been raped, like, were less likely to reoffend because they experienced what rape is.
Oh.
Yeah, and they found, no, they did the study where they're like, oh, when people were raped in prison, they realized, like, oh, it's not just, like, I'm being sexually used. It's, like, it's making me feel dehumanized. It's making me feel powerless. Like, they were able to understand on a whole better, different right? level, like, wow. what the crime was. Because they felt like, oh, rapists didn't go into the crime thinking, I'm going to fuck this woman up for life. They were like, I'm going to take this thing from her real quick, and yeah. then she'll be fine.
She'll be all right after that.
She'll be fine. Yeah, she'll and it was it. Like, and so, and, like, that's the big thing is, like, the key to change is, like, education and understanding. With genital mutilation in certain villages in Africa. They were trying to do all these things to, like, save girls from being mutilated. And what they found is when they got other Africans to go into these villages, not white people, but other Africans, mm-hmm. to go in and just educate them and say, like, hey, when you do this, it physically is putting your daughter in danger. And, like, all these villages, like, got rid of it. Stop they were like, it. Oh, they just didn't, like, because they didn't realize that it was something that was, like, physically harming their children, because everyone loves their children and wants yeah. them to be everywhere. Healthy.
Yeah.
And so they were just going, like, oh, well, socially, I wanted to protect her. And now you're telling me that physically it's harmful. Like, no question, it's out. And, like, so to me, that was like, oh, that's the key is just education.
Yeah, it's education. And I feel like Dick was saying, it's compassion and empathy. Yeah, I feel like that's most of it. And just being human beings.
I know.
Right. We're all... That's why, I mean, I don't like pushing people or drugs on people, but mushrooms is one of those drugs that really lets everybody know that we're all connected from the ground to the air we breathe. We bleed the same. When we die, we go back into the ground. The food comes from that. We eat that. We're all... I'm a futuristic person. I want people to, like, sooner or later, we're going to have to leave this planet. What are we going to do?
You know? Right, right.
Yeah. I believe that, you know, I always tell people, I believe that just, like, everything in life is temporary. You know, enjoy it while you got it and treat people with respect. It's that simple. I don't even understand why people, like, our rule number one at Julieland is be nice.
Be yeah. nice. Act like you got a mom.
Have manners.
Be nice, have fun.
Yeah.
But oh. see, we licked racism right there.
Can I say one more
yes,
thing?
Yes.
I just want to talk about another group of people that have been very, just a lot of racism in their own people. Like, Mexicans in California and in Los Angeles in general are, like, treated like not even third class people. Like, I see Mexicans working in yards and, like, I speak to them and, like, they're not even used to, like, people talking to them. It's not just black
people. It's almost like they're invisible.
They are. I mean, and this country, this state wouldn't even be a state without Mexicans. I just feel like it's not just a black, brown, white thing. I think we just need to start treating people more properly. And
yeah.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. 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 Yeah,
well, I hope get rid of capitalism and still anarchy today. Yeah. And anyway, so I mean, because honestly, it's all brought around by capitalism. Yeah, but it is. Like, we're not going to dismantle that today.
No.
But you know, if everyone takes mushrooms, seems like it's problem solved.
I think so.
Greg Edwards, ladies and gentlemen, has solved the problem of racism with psilocybin. So. What a gentleman.
Don't all listen right. to this mom.
So, Greg, do you want to tell everyone, like, how to stalk you, how to find you, how to
yeah. Hit
hear
me
more?
Up on Twitter, Greg the Grouch. You can check my website, gregcomedy.com. Check me out on YouTube with Thug Notes. Wisecrack is the company. I actually got this new sketch I'm trying to do. It's called The Blipsters, Black Hipsters. It's called theblipsters.com. Check me out on that. And yeah, that's it. Thank you, Saab. Thank you, Dick, so much. I really like you guys.
Thanks for being my first guest and my sire knots. That wraps up the first episode of Observations with Sovereign Sire. Next, we'll teach you how to make a quiche. You all know where to find me. You can find me at ilovesov.com in the Julieland universe. And you can also find me on Twitter at Sovereign Sire. Bye, everybody.
Bye.